Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Podcasting for Dummies, Season 4 Companion Podcast. My name is Chuck Tomasi, and joining me is none other than...
T. Morris. How you doing, everybody? But if you're on my Twitch stream right now, you know me as T. You know me as T. Monster. You can also call me Twitch Dad. Welcome, everybody. It is a pleasure to have you all here.
And
go for it.
So we are just launching. This is one of our pre-season shows, I guess you'd call it. The book is not out as we record this. So
You're right. Oh, that's right.
We do know what content is in there. We're warming you up.
Just warming you up, baby.
Because once the book is out, we want to give you content ideas about what's in each one of those chapters. But there's a lot to be said before we even get to that point. And one of them is, hey, why do I want a podcast? Or I'm thinking about starting a podcast. You're having that internal discussion with you, or maybe you're talking about it with some friends, or, you know, one of these days we should start a podcast.
Especially now with some people still taking lockdown to a next level where they're just like, I'm going to be spending a lot of time in the house. What do I do? And it seems like a lot of people now turning to podcasts.
You know why?
Something that
this did not dawn on me until years after I'd started. Podcasting is a social network.
Yeah, that is true.
At its core, it really is. You are reaching massive amounts. You have the potential to reach massive amounts of people. I get chills every time I'm reminded that, you know, somebody in Belgium or Sydney or, you know, is listening and says, "Hey, I listen to your show." And first, I say, "Which one?"
Yeah, of course. So first rule: when you say, "Why would I want to start a podcast?" First, just change the question. Why do you want to start podcasting?
Better.
And we'll leave it at that. Yep. We'll leave it at that. I'll tell you a story about that, though, Chuck. We were walking, we being me and Pip Ballantyne. Now, then she was just Pip. She wasn't my awesome wife. She was just one of my best buds, Pip Ballantyne. And we're walking through that breezeway between the Atlanta Marriott and the Atlanta Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
That overpass. Remember cons? Remember when we would go to cons?
Don't remind me.
Good times. Anyway, so we were going from this was a dragon con. That's the other thing. And just to paint the scene for everybody, Dragon Con is an event that gets about 70 to 80,000 people spread across, now I believe it's six hotels.
Five or six major hotels. Yeah.
But there are three main hotels in this hub. There's the Atlanta Hyatt.
The Atlanta Marriott,
and the Atlanta Hilton, or as I like to call it, the Contemporary Resort in reverse order. The Hilton is a Contemporary Resort. The Marriott is Logan's Run. If you remember the carousel scene in Logan's Run, that is the Marriott. And then finally, you've got the Hyatt, and the Hyatt. The only way I can describe it is a wretched hive of scum and villainy, because, man, they cram a lot of people in that Hyatt, and the Hyatt was never made for that sort of capacity.
I would call the Westin now the zombie apocalypse, because it's all concrete. It's a bunker.
So what happened was that Pip and I are going through a breezeway that's connecting the Marriott and the Hilton, and we're just chatting away, and suddenly, and this was Pip's first ever Dragon Con, and out of the blue, somebody just shouts at the top of their lungs, "Oh my God, Pip Ballantyne!" And we freeze, turn around, and this woman comes running up to us, and she goes, "I love Chasing the Bard. It was so good." And she's like, "How did you recognize me?" And she's like, "How did you recognize me? I would know that voice from anywhere." And I'm like, "Okay, now it's getting a little weird." But you know, that's the life of a podcaster. Yeah, I recognize that voice from anywhere.
Well, and then when you take it to streaming or you've got a video presence, it gets even more fun. I was on a cruise. I was on the Star Trek Cruise 3. It was like the first night. We're just sailing out of port and I'm walking down the deck. I have absolutely no branding on me that would say where I work, who I am. I don't even think my, you know, my name badge wasn't out or anything. And this couple walks past us and about 3 seconds after they passed, I hear "Service now!" I'm like, okay, there's only one reason somebody would yell that on a cruise and it's not to start a fire. I immediately a 180. And I'm like, what? He says, you're the guy who does the videos. I'm like, well, that includes about 1.7 million other people.
I was like, yeah.
And he recognized me. So, I did the, the needful and we got a selfie because that's kind of what people want to do now.
That's what you do. Yeah.
And, we exchanged, found out where he's from and who's from. And when I got back to the U.S., we hooked up on LinkedIn and we've been in touch.
That's great.
I mean, you're building that network. It really is a wonderful, wonderful way to grow that. So that may be one reason why you're doing this is to build out that network, either professionally or personally. If I had a plan, I have no plan for my career. This was an accident. If I had a plan, that's what I would have done 15 years ago to start building my career is start a podcast for that reason.
Right, right. And but the big question though that people have when they want to start doing this is why do I want to start a podcast?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask the money question. We'll get to that.
we're going to get to that a little later. But that tends to, because now it's over. I was on a recent podcast interview about podcasting. It was one of those meta podcasts about podcasting. It was actually called For the Love of Podcast. That's what that nice. Is brand new show started off. Terrific show, terrific host. And its host Billy was asking me, where do you begin? And we were talking about statistics, and he was actually saying that there are right now a million podcasts that are still constantly being updated.
That might seem daunting at first.
I remember when in the second edition, it was something like, oh, wow, we've got to change this number from 15,000 podcasts to 30,000 podcasts. You know what I mean? And now there's over a million. There's over a million. And the question is, why would I want to even throw that pebble into the ocean? So for me, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, okay, do I have enough content to make a podcast? Mm-hmm. And whether it's you as an individual, whether it's you and a bunch of friends just sitting around, you have to sit down and ask yourself, okay, well, what are we going to talk about? And so for me, the starting point is always in planning.
Yes.
I need to see how quickly it's going to take me to reach 5 episodes. And if I can crank out 5 ideas for episodes like that, I can also decide what the posting schedule is going to be. Now, what about you, Chuck? Do you follow the same thing or do you have a different?
Exactly. I mean, I was a bit nudged into it because I tend to do things a little off the spur of the moment sometimes.
Right.
But when I...
The deuce you say.
I have an idea. I run with it before I get the next idea.
There you go.
But
Chuck Tomasi, everybody, he's the only rugby player that tries to dive into the pitch without the rugby ball. I mean, they're like, Chuck, you need this. I'm sorry. You were saying
that's my Achilles heel. But this past summer, I launched a new podcast for work. And of course, to get any kind of funding, there wasn't actually any need for funding, but to get, access to the accounts and whatever, I had to make a proposal, a plan. And it included what topics you want to talk about. What's the posting schedule? Exactly what you just said. Yes, I could come up with easily 6 months worth of content. We went to a fortnight schedule, so every other week, which is kind of interesting. I've never done that outside of somebody else's work with topic as Trek. Never really thought that was a reasonable schedule because you got to look at it and say, do I have enough content that warrants every week? Because that's going to increase your workload. Or do I go monthly, which feels like a long time to me between. But there are topics that lend themselves very nicely. Maybe you've got a lot of research to do. If you're doing, mm-hmm. ancient Chinese history of war, you know, you might have to do your boning up on your facts before you can get that next one in. But you go, exactly. Hey, I've got 20 topics. So they're just going to take a long time to produce. Fine, go do right. that. Your schedule is your schedule. The other nice thing I like about the Fortnite is when I do get these one-offs, somebody says, hey, can you get a podcast in about this? We've got a new product being released or whatever. Yes, yes, I can. And because it's an audio-only podcast, I can do those at the drop of the hat now. I mean, you know, right. T and I, you can do an audio podcast in your sleep practically.
Well, yes, absolutely.
So it feels absolutely. Like far less effort than putting together the plan for a live stream and checking lights and setting up streams. And, you know, there's some details.
As much as I love to stream, I mean, like you might have noticed. And you might have noticed, Chuck, that I have a new background in my studio. And it was because I noticed that my background was absolutely and utterly bland compared to, say, you remember podcasting's Rich Siegfried, right? He's our technical editor. And computer off. I don't know what triggered that thing. I swear to God, I really believe my Echo is tied into Skynet. Any day now, it's going to just say, it's going to say, I've launched the missiles. See ya, sucker.
It's always anyway, listening, and I'm setting your Facebook ads by what you just said.
Exactly. But like Richie Munster, a.k.a. Podcasting's Rich Siegfried, he has an amazing background. I mean, and it's got LED lights and all this stuff. But that's because he has the kind of background where he's got depth. If I scoot back too far, I'm going to hit the wall. So, and even, you know, comparing your studio to my studio, I'm just like, man, I had a blank white wall and it needed work. It needed work. And I tried lights, that didn't work. So then one day I just said, we're going to paint this green because, man, nice. I look washed out. I just look washed out. And then we started hanging stuff up. This just went up today. This thing with the running, you know, I got the Nerd Lounge sign. And then I started going, okay, now it's starting to feel a little more comfortable. Mm-hmm. But with audio, you could be in your pajamas. You could just go on ahead and just kick back and just crank out audio like this. Yeah. So with, when you have that ability to map out different shows, and for me, I prefer working on a fortnightly schedule when I can keep it. That can also get a little dicey, but the content has to be there first.
Yes.
So I always map out the first five shows, and I can see just how intense and how much we can talk about, you know, from each week or every other week or however we work it. Now, one of the other things that I would also say, thanks for that drop in there, Drafty, I do appreciate it. So when it comes to setting a schedule, the one thing you got to make sure of when you've got your schedule set is also, especially if you're doing it from a corporate perspective, if you're going to start doing something from the corporate perspective, just remember they may or may not live or die by that schedule you have set, especially if you are reliant on content from other people.
Yes.
The first time I tried a corporate podcast, I was really excited because everybody loved the idea. Everybody was ready to go. Everybody was set. They were just like, this is going to be awesome. And then I said, okay, now I need content. We'll get back to you, T. And my, and I just watched the gap just go. I had three shows all ready to go. But then after that, I couldn't. And then when I went to my boss and I said, we're coming up on our next one and I can't get content from people. So can I put some? No, you can't put something together. Why? Well, because you're not an expert in cybersecurity. I'm like, I could read the news. I could do. No. so when you have your schedule written out, or you've got like the first five shows ready to go, the next thing is going to be, okay, where's the content coming from?
And right.
Now, if you're creating the content, in Chuck's case or in my case, that's entirely different.
Yeah. No, all of my work podcasts need a guest. I'm doing interviews. I'm doing conversations. So right. I got to line those people up months in advance to make sure it's on their calendar. Then, you know, get the Q&A out to them a few weeks in advance so that when we get to the recording session, it's just sit down and let's have this conversation. If that's boom. It turns into any other work project when you start involving other people. So be ready for that. Real quick, from a work standpoint, One reason to start podcasting for fun is to gain that experience that you can then take to your employer and become that podcast expert. I feel very fortunate and blessed to, again, have accidentally fallen into this career. But doing what I did 15 years ago and gaining that experience around audio production and editing and interviewing and all the things we talk about in the book really lent itself well when it came time for me to spot an opportunity to say, hey, I'd like to do this. And my boss goes, right, by all means, you've got the chops for it. Like, okay, well, that was easy.
So Sam says we couldn't meet a regular schedule with work. And that, yeah, we can only produce when we could. And for some corporations, that's an issue. Now, if there are workarounds for that. And I want to spend a little more time with corporate podcasts before we start getting into personal podcasting. One of the things that you can do, though, and that's going to be, now, Sam actually says this in chat, time was always hard to come by.
Yep.
And that is a mantra you will hear again and again with podcasting. 9 times out of 10, the reason why podcasts make it 3 episodes and then pod fade, they just stop, is because people suddenly realize this is hard work.
It takes an effort to keep going.
And then you've got the audio and you've got the editing and you've got the polish and you got to make sure that you're constantly creating content or you have content to draw from. And it's hard to do.
It's the same with any other communications, whether it's a newsletter, you know, you've got quarterly newsletters that go to your customers from the marketing department. Hey, they've got a schedule. It's because that's a priority. Time is always based on priorities. So when you launch into this from a corporate standpoint, make sure you've got the backing to keep it a priority. That way you'll have the time.
It's why when I interview for social media positions, one of the first things I ask is, do you have a real interest in social media? How seriously do you take it? And it's the same thing with a podcast. When I was at code.gov, I never thought about doing a podcast. And that was a specific reason. I did not do a podcast at code.gov because I myself could not think of how to do open source on a federal level as a podcast. I couldn't figure out how to make that work. I wanted to make it work, but I couldn't. However, we did have an unofficial code.gov stream. And that was an entirely different story. It is still going on, as a matter of fact, too, even though I'm no longer there. And the person who hosts that stream isn't there either. But the thing is, that sort of thing, you might find out that your job may not lend itself to a podcast.
Yep.
So what you have to make sure of is that if you are having trouble finding content, then okay, if you don't have enough guests to go around, or if you don't have enough people internally to interview, pull up news stories from that are relevant to your work.
Have a plan B.
There are always news stories. Even like, for example, he just came into stream Drafty. Let's say Drafty here wanted to do a podcast, and he wanted to do a podcast about brewing. Well, shoot, where to begin? If he got hired by a microbrew, by say a place like Old Busthead or Dogfish, mm-hmm, and they said, okay, make us a podcast, what would it be? You could talk about the brewing process for a porter, and you could talk about the brewing process of what makes a stout. You know, you could talk about that. And then you could talk about developments in the business. And with a fortnightly schedule, what's terrific is that you have a lot of flexibility, because those first 5 shows that you map out should be evergreen topics, so that when something that is relevant to your company's interests suddenly pops up in the news, you can comment about it on the podcast and then shift around the ones you already know that are coming. You can shift those later. And that way your podcast becomes topical. Now, that's all from a corporate level, but let's talk about from a personal level. First off, Star Trek. Star Trek has probably got so many podcasts at it, you couldn't blink and not find a new podcast. And yet, this knucklehead over here started up with 2 other knuckleheads that I know, the topic is Trek. So the question is, why did you start up a brand new Star Trek episode? A new Star Trek podcast when there are so many others out there on the market?
It gets back to the P word, passion. We're passionate about Star Trek. We want to share. And this is something we do include in the book. Nobody else is going to have a podcast just like yours. You bring something unique. You have a unique voice. Your passion, your approach, your topic selection is going to be completely different than anyone. And that will resonate with your listeners. Or at least we hope it does. You might have, you're one among a million other Star Trek podcasts, or beer podcasts are another popular one. But
another one, yeah.
Don't be afraid, because don't think the market is saturated with that particular topic. You bring something unique. That's what I did when I first started podcasting. Back when there were like 150 podcasts.
right.
You could listen to all of them.
The salad days.
I said, CNET already had a very wonderful tech news story, news podcast. And I said to myself, okay, Apple, Google, Microsoft, they got that. What can I do that they're not? And that's where Technorama kind of came off with this weird spin of, we're going to do the stuff that's left on the cutting room floor. Right. We'll start
the lighter side of tech. That's your motto, the lighter side of tech. So I mean, it's the same thing with Happy Hour. When I pitched to Nick and Brandon doing a Destiny podcast, at the time, Brandon, who is the wicked gamer of the three of us, I mean, he is the young teenager high school gamer, right? So he can breeze through the Crucible, he can breeze through Gambit. He's savage. He's incredible at the game. He was worried about it because he said, why are we doing this? And he was kind of being a little angsty teenager too. He was going, why are we doing this? There are other shows out there and they're run by people who are really good at this game. And then, Bungie occasionally does their own podcast. And I go, this is the reason why we're doing it. We're not Bungie.
Yeah.
We're not Glad. We're not Clyde. We're not Lulu. We're not ZG Photo. We are not that level of players. We are three people who absolutely love this game, and we just want to share that love with you.
There's and another so what approach. Happened? Go ahead. Go. Let you
I was going to say, and that's how the show started to evolve. We brought on favorite streamers and we interviewed them for the show. And we talked about how much time they clocked into certain things. We then started reaching out to the voice talent, and we were getting people like Joy Osmansky. We were getting Sissy. I'm blanking on Sissy's last name. Sissy Speaks. It's her name on Twitter. But we also got Courtney Taylor, who voices Amanda Holiday. We were getting, and then we got the voice director for Destiny 2. So he could tell us about the stories about when he directed Franklin Jella. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is like a nerdgasm. And we've told people, if you come on to Happy Hour from the Tower, if you listen to Happy Hour and you're expecting to hear about the latest meta weapons and the latest strats for the next raid, that's not us. We're the guys that are like, oh my God, I just ran the dungeon for the first time. Let me tell you about what I saw. And we just share a lot of that passion, but then we go into the news and we talk about, upcoming developments in Destiny. We talk about upcoming developments in the Destiny community. We talk about different events. We've had one of the founders of GCX come onto our show and just talk about its evolution. And that is what our show is. It is not like everybody else's show. And we're okay with that. Every voice will be unique. Every voice will have something true about it. Like you said, Chuck, provided the passion's there.
You talked about your experience of going through the dungeon for the first time, reminded me. We have a mutual friend, Victor, who you don't have to be a subject matter expert to start a podcast.
No.
In fact, that could be the premise of your podcast is follow me with my journey through X. Victor started one called the Typical Mac User Podcast. I mean, He had never touched a Macintosh before starting this podcast. And he said, I'm going to take you through it because I know there's a lot of people out there with a lot of questions just getting started, just like me.
Yep.
And he took that. It became extremely popular.
God, I love that show.
Sponsorships.
I loved it.
It was a wonderful show. I listened to it and I learned something on every podcast. Yep. And I've been using Mac since the early 90s. So
between him and Adam Christensen, we were all covered.
Yeah. Pretty much. So you don't feel nervous that, oh my gosh, I don't know this. I'm not the subject matter expert. You could leverage that to your advantage to become that subject matter expert as you learn on your journey, and you will get wonderful feedback from your listeners. Because that's your premise in saying, I'm just learning this, follow me along with the journey. You're going to get contributions from people saying, hey, did you know about this tip? Or, hey, let me tell you this secret. Did you see this news story? The interaction between you and your audience, I'm not going to refer to them as listeners. I'll try not to anyway.
Right, your
audience is going to be a wonderful experience under that premise, just as well as if you had been doing this for 25 years and, you know, I'm the old retired fart and I'm going to teach you everything I know about this personal topic. Yeah, that's fine too. If you want to take your experience and share it, please somebody share how to make taxes easier.
Well, another good example of that is Merle Lafferty. If you know, the Grand Dame of podcasting is what I like to call her. Merle Lafferty, chat, just so you know, is one of the original. She is one of the original of the podcast literature vanguard. Merle first started doing on another podcast short story, like podcast short story fiction. And Murr, she is a talented writer, and she called me up. This is back in like 2007, maybe even 2006. And she said, "T, I want to start up a podcast on writing." And I said, "Okay, great, cool." She goes, "But I have no idea. I have no idea what to call it." I said, "Okay." She said, "The thing is, I want it to be, a podcast about accountability. I want it to be a podcast about how here I am telling you my story as a writer and trying to get published when really I should be writing."
Ding, 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 ding.
And I said, I said, "Well, there it is. There's your title." She was like, "What's the title?" I said, "I should be writing." Not only now is I Should Be Writing one of the biggest writing podcasts that's out there, Merle Lafferty, who was unpublished at the time, who was a brand new voice in science fiction, is now a Campbell winner.
Yep.
And she's now writing tie-ins for Star Wars. She wrote the Star Wars tie-in for Solo. And I mean, you know, that gives you an idea of what kind of, and she has always been really consistent with her content and with her delivery.
Naming the podcast is always a good challenge. We'll talk about that a little later
because I tend to be
a very unimaginative person when it comes to naming.
so that we can wrap it up, where, you know, what would be the last thing is, we've talked about mapping out the first few shows. We've talked about making sure that you know where the content is coming from, but then we're also talking about, don't be intimidated if a whole lot of other people are talking about the same topic. What would be one more topic you would want to, or one more piece of advice that you'd want to share with, okay, I want to start a podcast. Where do I begin?
Just do it. Where to begin? Go get our book first and then just do it.
Ooh, here we go. Sharky, everybody, with a question. How long should the podcast be? What's too short and what's too long?
It should be twice,
man,
twice the length of half its length.
Measure once, edit twice. No,
there is no formula. I've heard 60-second podcasts. This guy did a 1-minute podcast years ago. I've heard podcasts that go 2.5-3 hours. There is no exact measurement. You will get listeners to say, "Could you make it 20 minutes? Because that's the length of my commute." You know what? Good on them.
Don't get me started on that. Don't get me started on that, because I was on a panel. I was on a panel with somebody who will not be named, but you and I talked about him. We removed him from the book. Okay. I'm just going to say it.
Yep.
We removed him from the book with some of the stuff that he said on his website about his expertise. And one of the things that he said was, well, if you want to know the average podcast, it should not go beyond 20 to 30 minutes. Because that's the usual commute to work.
Not if you live in Silicon Valley.
And that's the thing. I turned to him. I said, you obviously don't live in the Washington, D.C. metro area, right, now, do you? And that brought the house down because we were in New York.
Perfect.
And I'm just like, look. And he kind of gave me side eye, but I didn't care. I just said, look, the podcast is as long as you want it to be.
And it will vary. It will vary. I think Technorama started out as about 20 minutes, and now we're trying to hold it under an hour. You know, it will drift, and it's okay to have that.
Yeah, it's okay to have breadth and length to your podcast.
You're not beholden to some show clock that has to have an ad every 18 minutes or something. You know, that's traditional media. Let it be what it is. And if you have visions of potentially taking your video or something, you know, there was a podcast produced in this studio that went to XM, and they had to play by a play clock. So they made the segments what they were. That's fine, right. But most of us don't. Right. Need that or want that.
The other thing too is that there are always going to be exceptions to the rule. Mm-hmm. I went on a friend's podcast. It was the Innovative Mindset podcast, hosted by a lovely lady, attractive, and she got me onto her podcast to talk about the creative mind, and she brought me on because one, she knew me from the Ren Faire days. Two, she knew that I was finishing up my third book of the year in order. I've written Discord. I finished up Discord for Dummies. I then did the second edition of Social Media for Writers. And then with this guy, we did the fourth edition of Podcasting for Dummies. Three books in a year. That is not a bad schedule. And Isolde wanted me to come on and talk about it. Talk about the creative process behind streaming, the creative process behind writing, how do I make the two work, et cetera, et cetera. And I looked at her previous podcast, and her podcast ran about anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and a half. I said, we'll be fine. 3 hours later, we are still talking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And she was like, no, this is great. We're going to be fine. There's nothing I want to edit from this. This is all wheat, no chaff. I'm like, okay. So then she invites me to come back on to talk about Podcasting for Dummies. I said, all right, sure. Maybe this time we'll keep within that one hour window. Say it with me, chat. 3 hours later, we are still going.
Yeah.
And I just said, I said to her, you're okay with this, right? And she was like, T, I'm loving it. So now I just tell people I give good interviews.
You have the option of breaking that apart too. I mean, if she said, look, I try for 45 minutes and we've been going for an hour and a half, I'm going to cut it at this point at 47 and a half and we'll make it a two-parter. That's your prerogative, you know, be respectful of your listeners and all that. But you know what? They always have it on their device and they can pause and come back to it at any time. I can think of very few podcasts, even the 15-minute ones that I can listen to in one sitting at 1.5 times speed. Because I'm always getting interrupted with something, or I always have a second thought.
Right.
So it is what it is, and let it be what it is.
And that's the other thing is that it doesn't matter when. It really doesn't matter when. You're like, okay, I'm done talking. Mm-hmm. You're done, and then after that, you decide how you want to edit it. Sometimes Happy Hour from the Tower goes long. We originally wanted the show to be no more than 35 minutes. It now floats between 45 minutes and an hour and a half. And the one thing we never hear is complaints. People are just like, oh, you guys could have kept on going. So really, Sharky, I would say it is wherever you are comfortable with, but just remember, if you are going to edit, if you are going to polish and edit and make sure that there are no flubs or anything like that, that's going to take you a little longer. But find the length. That's what she said. Find the length that she is comfortable with. Yeah, too late. This is going to get an explicit tag, everybody. Find the length for your podcast that is comfortable for you. And it's okay to go on occasional tangents. Just make sure that whatever tangents you go on, you stay focused. So would there be anything else that you'd want to throw in there, Chuck? Because that was a great question.
Caused us to go a little over allotted time.
A little bit.
Exceptions happen.
That's fine.
You know.
Hey, you know what? If you want to have, if you've got a question like Sharky, the best thing to do is to make sure you're here for the stream. So go on ahead and pay us a visit at twitch.tv/thetmonster. And we'll make sure that you know when we're going live with Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. You can also drop us an email or even a voicemail at WhatsApp. And you can use WhatsApp as well at 703-791-1701. You can also call it directly, and also that'll take you straight to voicemail. You can also go to podcastingfordummies.com and find the show that's most recently posted. Go into the comment section, leave your thoughts, leave a question. We will pick it up for the next show. So, I forgot to do this for the first show. Just remember, everybody, Podcasting for Dummies is protected. Hey, non-commercial, no derivative, share alike, United States 3.0 license. You can find out more about that license at creativecommons.org. On behalf of Chuck, thanks for listening, everybody. Pod on.